Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Bahishadair Abhipujataha. Pashyatam Rajaputranam. Tatraiva Tatraivantar Dadeharaha. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Barhishadhair Abhipujataha. Pashyatam Rajaputranam. Tatraivantar Dadeharaha. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Vahishadair Abhipujataha. Pashyatam Rajaputranam. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Bahishyadhair Abhipujataha. Putranam. Patraivantar Dadeharaha. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Bahishadair Abhipujataha. Pashyatam Rajaputranam. Tatraivantar Dadeharaha. Ladies. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Bahishadair Abhipujataha. Pashyatam Rajaputranam. Tatraivantar Dadeharaha. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Bahishadair Abhipujataha. Pashyatam Rajaputranam. Tatraiva Deharaha. Maitreya Uvacha. Iti Sandisha Bhagavan. Bahishadair Abhipujataha. Pashyatam Rajaputranam. Tatraivantar Dadeharaha. Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Iti, thus, Sandisha, giving instruction. Bhagavan, the most powerful Lord. Barhishadhai, by the sons of King Barhishat. Abhipujataha, being worshipped. Pashyatam, while they were looking on. Rajaputranam, the sons of the king. Tatra, there. Eva, certainly. Antardadhe, became invisible. Haraha, Lord Shiva. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued speaking to Vidura, my dear Vidura. In this way, Lord Shiva instructed the sons of King Bharishat. The sons of the king also worshipped Lord Shiva with great devotion and respect. Finally, Lord Shiva became invisible to the princes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This chapter, the chapter titled is The Descriptions of the Characteristics of King Paranjana. So this chapter contains a great lesson concerning the monarchical kingdom in the days of yore. When King Bharishat was considering retiring from the royal duties, he sent his sons to perform austerities in order to become perfect kings for the welfare of the citizens. At the same time, King Bharishat was being instructed by the great sage Narada about the material world and the living entity who wants to enjoy it. It is therefore very clear how the kings and princes were trained to take charge of a kingdom. Welfare activities for the benefit of the citizens were aimed at understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The human form of life is especially meant for understanding God, our relationship with Him, and our activities in His service. Because the kings took charge of the spiritual education of the citizens, both the king and the citizens were happy in Krishna consciousness. In this regard, we should remember that the monarchical hierarchy of Pachini Bharishat comes from Maharaj Dhruva, a great devotee of the Lord and the most celebrated disciple of Narada Muni. So there we have it. Who's the most celebrated disciple of Narada Muni? Dhruva Maharaj. And the king was a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj. But King Pachini Bharishat was then too much engaged in fruitive activities due to performing different types of yajñas. One can actually be promoted to higher planetary systems or to the heavenly kingdoms by performing various yajñas. But there is no question of liberation or going back home, back to Godhead. When the great sage Narada saw that a descendant of Maharaj Dhruva was being misled by fruitive activities, Narada took compassion upon him and personally came to instruct him about the ultimate benediction of life, Bhakti Yoga. How Narada Muni indirectly introduced the Bhakti Yoga system to King Pachini Bharishat is very interestingly described in this 25th chapter. End of purport. The verse again, Maitreya Uvacha, Iti Sandisha Bhagavan, Bahishadaya Abhipujitaha, Pashyatam Raja Putranam Tat. The great sage Maitreya continued speaking to Vidura, my dear Vidura, in this way. Lord Shiva instructed the sons of King Bharishat. The sons of the king also worshipped Lord Shiva with great devotion and respect. Finally, Lord Shiva became invisible to the princes. Oma Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Sadakaya Chakshur and Miritam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakata Mayam Tadati Svapadantikam. I missed a very wonderful chapter, the previous chapter of the song sung by Lord Shiva. Though the prayers or the stotras given by Lord Shiva are so attractive and so elevated that the Prachetas achieved spiritual perfection by the grace of Lord Shiva. The scene was, when Prabhupada is describing it in the purport, that we'll go back to the third canto of the Bhagavatam, where one of the questions of the sages that goes from canto one was being responded to, the lineages of kings following the incarnations of the Manus. So Svayambhuva Manu was the first Manu of the 14, and his son Priyavrata, being the elder son, was entitled to inherit the throne from Svayambhuva Manu, but he wasn't interested. He requested permission from his father, "Let my younger brother, he's good, Uttanapada, let him become king. I'll just go to the forest and achieve spiritual perfection through the life of devotion." Svayambhuva Manu consented, and off Priyavrata went, and Uttanapada became king, and from Uttanapada, Anupam and Dhruva were born. So Dhruva succeeded Uttanapada, and then continuing on, the lineage of kings from Dhruva is described, and where this fourth canto brings us to is that lineage of kings, even in Satya Yuga, what to speak of bad Kali Yuga, things deteriorate. Things deteriorate, even good things. Through time, they deteriorate. But the good news is, when there's spiritual influence, like with Narada, then it can be restored. So, the lineage of kings up to the point of King Prachinipati were quite representative of Dhruva and Uttanapada and Svayambhuva Manu. They were very elevated in devotion. But King Prachinipati had this mixture. And the mixture was, he was a devotee, but he liked fruitive activities. And so, too much involved in performance of karmakanda yajnas for the purpose of achieving material happiness. So, recognizing that problem, Narada has come to give him a little association. And Srila Prabhupada, during his presence of a worldwide preacher, he would also take part of his time to give association to would-be but fallen from the proper standard of brahmanas and kshatriyas, or the intellectuals and the administrators of the world. They weren't as receptive as King Prachinipati, but the principle of saintly persons giving association to those who are particularly Vaishnava. So the inference is we have some responsibility in society, collectively and individually, to give Krishna consciousness to the world, give opportunity for everybody. And at the same time, there's a specific responsibility to give spiritual association to those who are the shapers of quality of life in the world today. And that the shapers are the intellectuals, the would-be brahmanas, and the administrators. So Narada gave his association to King Prajinipari. There's several points that are being made in the purport. Prabhupada blends them one into the next. Another very important point is his statement that it is therefore very clear how the kings and princes were trained to take charge of a kingdom. I share a little practical service that I'm involved with that very much relates to this. Those who are Prabhupada's disciples and who are taking leadership roles in the world and in North America, we're getting older, and there has to be a plan that those that are doing that service will have some persons to take that responsibility on. So succession of leadership is a concern. And on the international level, we're having extra GBC meetings because we really like meetings so much. We're having extra GBC meetings specifically in the area of looking to our future. Those of us that are not going to be able to continue what we're doing now presently need to put certain things in place now. Like that Prabhupada, his position as the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What does that mean, and how is it going to carry forward after the Prabhupada disciples are no longer physically present on this planet? What are we going to do today for that tomorrow? That's one of the items. And a number of other items. One of those other items is, what's the plan for preparing leaders for tomorrow? And it connects with Prabhupada as the founder acharya in this way. When Prabhupada was present, everything by his spiritual influence, everything moved, and dynamically it moved. And if in the manner of governance, if some issue needed to be resolved, Prabhupada would say, and that was it. You know, Supreme Court, he was the king. He didn't need to have a trial. Prabhupada would hear, he would say, that was it. And the integration of our Krishna consciousness movement, I don't want to get too much into an ISKCON sociological thing, but it's relevant, the point that Prabhupada is making. How do we continue the integrity of our society as the presence of Srila Prabhupada physically on this planet over time fades? How do we hold the International Society for Krishna Consciousness together? Instead of what we don't want is, you know, we're used to it staying together, kind, you know, much more than the Gaudiya Mat did, that's for sure. But how to preserve that? How to have leaders trained in such a way that sense of character and unity and integrity. How do we do something now to help preserve that for the future? There's that kind of discussion going on. And because I'm involved in that little group, Prabhupada's statement here is, it really strikes. It is therefore very clear how the kings and princes were trained to take charge of a kingdom. So what are the principles that are involved in training persons to take charge of a kingdom or take charge of giving either brahminical or kshatriya categories of leadership? Because both have such an important role. The very next thing that Prabhupada says is welfare activities for the benefit of the citizens were aimed at understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a principle, how to train people to take leadership of our society. It's the duty of the king, the governing head, to see to the welfare of those who he's ruling. And in the Vedic process, there are yajñas and rituals and ceremonies and things that bring the people together around some ritual, and then they all participate and they get spiritual benefit. The king also gets spiritual benefit from the citizens, just like Prithu. When the incarnation, Prithu, was crowned, his public address, one of the first points that he made was, I want to thank you all for engaging in your prescribed duties, because by so doing, I am getting some percentage of the benefit that you're getting from doing your duties. And of course, it works the other way also. The citizens derive benefit from the properly performed activities of the king. Just like Maharaj Ambarish, when he was performing this year-long vrata of observing Ekadasi in a very strict way, part of his contemplation was the benefits that will be achieved by this vrata will go to my citizens. And also it would purify himself, qualify himself further and further, although he's already on the perfect platform. He's thinking, I'm not, and I need to qualify myself to get the mercy of the Personality of Godhead. So when there are welfare activities, because governance persons have to consider the welfare of their citizens, when there are welfare activities, what's at the center? The focus goes to realization of the Personality of Godhead. Just like the example that's given here is the prachetas. The prachetas that the Prabhupada describing, King Prachini Bhari, he wanted his sons to take over the kingdom. He's getting to the age of life. You know, there's some parallel to how ISKCON leadership might be thinking. I've come to the stage in my life where I'd like my sons to take responsibility of leadership. So what did he do? He sent them to engage themselves in austerities. Now, what form do those austerities take in our present time? Those austerities primarily are increasing our practices of devotion and increasing our missionary activities, just like your plans here in Dwarka, New Dwarka, for increasing the book distribution in an unprecedented way. And, you know, in ways, at least what I heard from some of the devotees describing, Savas has plans that will engage all the temple for the whole month. It's an increase of austerity. It's certainly for the mission, distributing more books. In the context of what's being presented here, it's preparing you all to take more responsibility in the manner of taking charge of the Hare Krishna movement and giving Krishna consciousness the welfare of the citizens in general. The best welfare is by the performance of Sankirtan. This is the teaching of nectar devotion. It's the beginning of all auspiciousness. The performance of Sankirtan Yajna is the benefit of the citizens who receive the books and receive the holy name and receive the prasad and receive the association of devotees, increasing for the welfare of the people in general, with realization of the personality of Godhead at the center. So because King Prachinivari had this mix, fruit of activities, but also some spirit of devotion. So what happened? He sent them to perform the austerities part, and because of their qualities, very important in that whole previous chapter, Lord Shiva came before them saying, because you have pleased me so much, by what? By your obedience to your father, by your spirit of cooperation with one another, I have come before you. And I want to give you that which, combined with the austerities that you're going to do, will fix your mind on the personality of Godhead and will bring you to the stage of perfection, which is what happened. So the point is, by the association of the saintly person, in this case, Lord Shiva, he put Krishna at the center. So how to... The formula is very easy. Everyone can engage in Sankirtan. A child can engage in Sankirtan. Everyone, stay focused on what's our purpose. To fix our consciousness on pleasing the personality of Godhead. Such a principle. And then how to do it in leadership, how to do that in all circumstances. Just, I think particularly Sovas would appreciate this point. In Moscow, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj has a little academy of 30 people that are being trained specifically. It's a 4-year training program for becoming leaders, future leaders in all of Vyatra. They live a little bit separately. He personally supervises it. And they have something like some number of days, a week or 10 days of instruction, theoretical instruction, and then 2 weeks of, they take that and they go and help other temples implementing those principles. They're just servants of those temples, but taking those principles and practically applying them, coming back and sharing what their realizations were. It's heavy on the practical side. The theoretical side, but then practical side. Then processing, what was your experience? How did this principle play out in the field? They're doing practical things to help temples be strong, but it's specifically training in leadership with principles that Prabhupada gave us, and learning how to apply those principles that Prabhupada gave us in the practical field, helping strengthen our temples, and then back. And then some other session of training and theory, and then out into the field of helping make our temples strong, and somebody monitoring. Overall, Maharaj, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj is monitoring the whole process, but each of them has their mentor. So what he wants for his GBC area is really trained leaders that integrate very nicely with temples and represent the principles that Prabhupada taught and can work cooperatively together. And his wish is we should do this internationally, because supposing, things start to go in a certain direction in Russia, and things start to go in a different direction in China, and things start to go in a different direction in India, and where's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness factor going to, how are we going to hold our society together? Prabhupada is holding our society together, although he's not physically present, because we have many Prabhupada disciples who hold the society together. Going out into the future, is it going to be the same? So it's nice to practically contemplate the teachings that the Srimad Bhagavatam are giving us, understand the principles in essence, and then consider how we can apply them in our practical lives to please Srila Prabhupada and continue to move this mission forward. So the austerities of Satya Yuga were meditation for 10,000 years underwater. So that's like 10 years of their, 10% of their life. Think about it. Okay, you're being asked to take some responsibility to lead something, to lead a kingdom, to lead, you know, an area of service. Take 10 years out and do some austerities. So our austerity certainly, as mentioned, is increasing the intensity and quality and purity of our devotional practices and the performance of Sankirtan. It's a very practical austerity with keeping Prabhupada at the center. And what are the principles that Prabhupada wanted us to live by? And seeing if we can practically achieve that in a very carefully applied and monitored and mentored way. Very exciting. Very exciting. I'll share one other. In April of this year, I attended the Japa retreat in Ojai. And Mother Jamuna, during that retreat, I've never had much association with her, but she shared something that was it impressed me. Something with, from Prabhupada. I described there the, in the course of our general discussion shared that there's this effort going on. She spoke with me later and said that she sees Prabhupada's life as Adi, Madhya, and Antya, from her experience. The Adi was, the Prabhupada was the family. He was at the center, and everyone was just so intimately connected with Prabhupada as the father, like little kids with their father. From her experience, the next phase was Prabhupada took the World Sankirtan Party to India, and when they reached India, Prabhupada changed the mood. And the mood was training the devotees that went with him to be cultured, to have the kind of behavior that would represent his teachings. So Prabhupada's explanation was that in India, if you don't behave in a cultured way, people will not respect me. They'll not listen to the teachings because they're displeased with the lack of culture. And therefore, she explained, for years, in detail, you know, daily, she gave some examples how Prabhupada would drill them with how they behaved. To behave in a cultured way is part of bringing the message of Krishna consciousness into the lives of people. It's not just what we say, it's the character that we exhibit and the qualities that we exhibit. Then people take interest, deeper interest. We've all had this experience. But just this past Sunday, I was in Chicago and some American people came, co-workers of somebody, and so I asked them at the end, what was your experience, your first visit to the temple? They said, I feel very comfortable. I said, wow. I said, well, what is it about your experience that really makes you feel most comfortable? She said, the quality of the devotees, the quality of the people, they said. Because of the qualities of the devotees, people are more open to hear what the devotees have to say. And if our qualities, our character, doesn't represent the teachings, people are going to stay away from the teachings because they're going to evaluate, do they want to participate in all of this based upon the qualities that we carry? So it's so important, so important. That's exactly what the Lord Shiva said to the Prajetas, and later Lord Vishnu said to the Prajetas, because of your qualities. I've come before you, and I want to give my mercy to you. And as a result, they were able to carry on following Puccini Bari with the proper kind of leadership in the lineage of kings, following the line of Dhruva Maharaj. So I've got to keep my eye on the clock. Because the kings took charge of the spiritual education of the citizens, both the king and the citizens were happy in Krishna consciousness. Just because of time, the final point. How the heads of state direct their lives sets the standard for how the citizens will follow. It's therefore, it's so important that those who are in the head of state position or in the leadership position have set the right standards. I would say, as a compliment to Suvas, one of the things that helps this new Dwarka community stay on track, besides deep conviction in the principles of the fundamentals of book distribution, it's personal standards of sadhana. You know, this is California, and people are, you know, want to feel good. People all over the place. So how do you curb that? Is by very strong sadhana. You can't have that without strong example. And where there isn't strong example, visible example, things become weak, you know, from traveling about. It's very easy to see the strength of a strong spiritual community that stays in the fire of Krishna consciousness and makes it inviting for persons of quality people to come and participate. It attracts because of the quality of Krishna consciousness. So we teach by our example. This seems to be the theme of what's coming out of this purport. And because Narada saw that King Puccini Bari was going off, he didn't come and bang him on the side of the head or yell at him. He didn't overpower him with the philosophy. He gave his association in such an amazing, as Prabhupada is saying here, an incredible way. It was like a backdoor approach. He gave a whole metaphor rather than just straight on, because he was too attached. He couldn't hear it straight on. When people can hear it straight on, Narada gives it straight on. So a devotee needs to be Narada-like, very, very sensitive to the situation, and present the message of devotional service, bhakti yoga, in a way that it's actually going to be accepted by the audience, the person who we're speaking to. And the next couple of chapters unfold the expertise, amazing skill of Narada to bring King Puccini Bari to the right position. Narada's expert. Just a little note. What he did with Dhruva was so different than what he did with his father. First, Narada tested Dhruva's determination. When he saw Dhruva was very determined, he gave him the whole path to perfection. With Uttanapada, he went to Uttanapada's palace after speaking with Dhruva, knowing Uttanapada's got to be really disturbed because his son just left. The six-year-old son just left home feeling insulted by his stepmother and his father. Unprotected by his father, insulted by his stepmother. He left home. Imagine anybody that's a parent if that happened. Your six-year-old son just left home. Uttanapada is really disturbed. So when he went to see Uttanapada, he didn't give him the same approach that he gave to Dhruva. He let Uttanapada know, don't worry, your son's okay. In fact, not only he's okay, but he's going to achieve spiritual perfection. He's going to become a Mahabhagavata perfected soul. And he'll come back. And you'll get the benefit of his spiritual elevation. So hang on, Uttanapada, don't lament. Just be very patient. And sure enough, when Dhruva came back, by Dhruva's association with Uttanapada, he went to the forest, following the footsteps of his son. So, as devotees, when we're helping people in Krishna consciousness, trying to give them Krishna consciousness, give them the message of bhakti yoga, we have to be very thoughtful about their particular situation. Stick to the essence. At the same time, understand sensitively where they are and what things they need to overcome in order to get to devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I kept to the time. Archita.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very enlivening and enlightening class. But you brought up a very important topic of succession. Now, formally, we're dealing here with King Prachina Barishat and his sons Prachetas, and the line going back to Dhruva. It's all seminal, hereditary. So it seems that it's very easy when you're in that kind of mode. You know, you have a son, and the son gets trained up to become king, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in our society, that doesn't work. If you're going to plan succession, let's say you as a leader in New York and other places where you have your influence, if you pick somebody to train up as your successor, immediately somebody else is going to object. They're going to have 10 other candidates they want to propose. As soon as you like somebody, 10 other people don't like that person. So in that kind of Kali Yuga quarrelsome atmosphere, how do you plan succession?
This is our family. And all of the family members, their sons are on the male side and daughters. So one looks to quality. Yes, it's more complicated. But one, it's still principle-centered. One looks to quality. One looks to quality. And then you take that quality and the language that we're using with the succession of leadership is there's performance, you know, like a graph. Performance and potential. See where there's potential. See where there's needed training to bring the potential to performance. And work out on the training side where there's potential that needs more training. What kind of association? What kind of austerities? What kind of purification? What kind of how to bring that? So it's a bit of a free market, but that's good. You know, certainly that's what Prabhupada did. And if we're looking to empower, is the current trendy word, you know, see potential, and there's plenty of opportunity for leadership. There's not an unlimited number of temples, but the preaching field is literally unlimited. So, same as Prabhupada did, that is, somebody is given some encouragement, some training, some opportunity, and watch that person grow with that opportunity. So, what seems in this diverse situation that's less structured, and then the eldest son becomes the king. What's required is an overseeing The GBC have to be doing their job better and working in a cooperative way with one another to fulfill that. I mean, not just the city-state kind of idea of the GBC, but the GBC because I'm giving sociological comments now, but, you know, the way that the economy works today, somebody gets introduced to Krishna consciousness over here, and then they go over there, and then they go over there, and they go over there. Or they get their education over here. And so it seems to me that the existing governance structure, the GBC group, needs to be certainly locally, but also, you know, regionally or nationally, be thinking of where is their potential leadership, and provide facility for persons to come forward, get training and monitor, see how they do. I really like the model that Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj has. You know, the whole of Russia is huge. The whole of Moscow is huge. But the whole of Russia is huge. And and leaders that can work cooperatively together, that's going to help hold this society together. So that's a model that I like very much.
I noticed we could go on for this for hours, so I don't want to do that, but just one point, like his training program, 30, I think he said there were 30 devotees. 30 devotees were selected and they're being trained.
Yeah, yes.
But there has to be some kind of transparent methodology that everybody can agree to. In other words, we know from experience that it's not that the most academically qualified person is going to be the best leader.
Of course.
That doesn't work. But it seems that in our society today, we kind of tend to look for that. If somebody, you know, had college or they graduated, they have this degree, that degree, then we try to promote them to become leaders.
There's substantial, more than 50% emphasis on practical, not scholarship. And part of practical is being able to work together, being able to cooperate. You know, big item. When we're looking to the future, when Prabhupada is no longer here and the Prabhupada disciples are no longer here, this ability to cooperate together is a critical factor for keeping the International Society for Krishna Consciousness one organization. The ability to work together cooperatively. The challenges are getting greater. The need for character is stronger. Because Prabhupada compensated for the lack of character by his influence. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada mentions that all my disciples will take the legacy when questioned by one reporter, when you depart from this world, how will things go on? So can you briefly comment on that in relationship to...
I got the first part. What was it? Just the very last sentence?
Oh, I'm sorry.
A little
louder. When asked by one reporter, who will succeed you?
And all of my disciples will carry the legacy after my departure.
Exactly.
And the last part was?
I wanted to say that in relationship to what Archita Prabhu was saying, that how will we get to the devotees? Some devotees will object to other devotees taking these leadership roles, and who will decide who is a leader? So this, apparently Prabhupada has always said that my disciples will take the legacy, so it will become self-evident if one sees another devotee preaching in a wonderful way. If he doesn't want to emulate that, then he can find someone who he can work with and and exude those qualities. So there's no dearth of opportunity. I just want to make that comment, actually.
So you're making a comment?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the opportunity is abundant. And encouragement is also there. Now, opportunity is abundant, encouragement is there, and now how cooperative are the individuals with this abundant opportunity and encouragement? And cooperative doesn't mean just, you know, cowering in that kind of a submissive way, but cooperative. Take leadership and be cooperative at the same time. Critical. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.